Batter Off.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 79 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Kellyanne Healy. Hi, Kellyanne.
Hello, Allison. Hello, Linda. And welcome to WAAP, Amazing Avenue Podcast. I don't know why that just came in my head.
That was very good, though. Very good impromptu radio introduction.
I'll take it.
So this is our first podcast of the regular season. The Mets are back. And opening day was, I guess pseudo opening day, since the Mets had their season delayed due to COVID. This all happened since the last time we recorded. So like the Mets obviously were supposed to open the season on April 1st, along with everybody else. And we learned that the game got canceled because the Nats had a COVID outbreak, and then later the entire series was canceled because there were many players that either were COVID positive or were contacts of the COVID positive players. So the Nats season was delayed and the Mets season was therefore delayed. But the Mets did finally start their season yesterday. The Nationals are now underway as well. So now at least everybody's underway. But yeah, the Mets actual opening day game yesterday was an extremely Mets game in every single way. New Mets, same as the old Mets, 2021 Mets, same as it ever was.
SSDD.
2020 never ended.
It really didn't. Jacob DeGrom pitched a gem. The Mets did not score enough runs for him. And then the bullpen blew the game. It's like the usual shit that they do.
I mean,
and Jacob DeGrom drove in one of their two runs.
Yeah, he had two hits.
I think he's got the highest average on the team right now. That might have changed after tonight, but yeah.
Well, now Dominic Smith's batting 1,000.
That's true.
Or yeah. No, maybe not 1,000, but I don't know. Has he had
probably
another
in the game? He did.
Yeah. The Mets, they made a mediocre pitcher look way too good for most of the game, which is, stereotypical of them.
Even though this is supposed to be
a good offensive team, they did not hit. And then they finally did break through and score two runs. So they had a 2-0 lead. Luis Rojas pulled Jake too early after six innings, and he had only thrown 77 pitches and was throwing a shutout and was cruising. And he pulled him anyway because I guess opening day. I don't know.
I'm going to counter all of this and kind of give them the benefit of the doubt here, because from what it seemed, from what the players were saying, their routine was entirely screwed up by the Nationals the COVID outbreak. Just when Jake was talking about it yesterday, he said, "I didn't throw on Saturday. We were not sure. We were in limbo because I was trying to keep the pitches. I was trying not to throw too many pitches in case I pitched on Saturday." So all of the routines were broken. I'm betting that the guys were so amped up to play on Thursday and to have that taken away. James McCann said it. It's like Christmas Day, except you don't get to open your presents. So I think yesterday's game, especially, all that emotion kind of like came forward. It was just an overflow of it. And because the timing there,
for me, it was wah-wah. There was no passion. It was wah-wah.
I agree, but I think that was not due to, I think it was more due to external factors than the internal ones. Like, this series to me is going to be getting the rust off and getting into the groove, because they're still a little thrown off by this series that wasn't.
I can get behind that to a certain extent, but it doesn't excuse Luis Rojas's bad managing in that game, which was bad.
It doesn't. It does.
he didn't pinch hit. So the lineup, the lineup, he let off Kevin Pillar, which is a questionable choice because Kevin Pillar, I mean, he's fine, but he's not that good. And Brandon Nimmo would have been a much better choice. Nimmo got on base twice. Nimmo
at the top of your lineup every time.
And Brandon Nimmo got on base twice.
With his sprint walks.
And so, yeah, that was a questionable decision to start with. And like, fine, if you're going to, like, you can play Pillar against some lefties, like, that's fine. But one, it was literally Matt Moore. It's not like we're talking about some elite left-handed pitcher here. And two, he left Pillar in with the bases loaded in a key spot where he could have pinch hit Dominic Smith, and I guarantee you Dominic Smith would have gotten a hit. And Kevin
and they had the right-hander warming up, like they had no lefty to go to.
Right, so exactly.
Dom would have faced a righty.
Yes. So it was just, that was an inexcusable decision to me. And he talked about like, oh, like, you know, but Pillar's defense and we were only up 2-0. Like, Albert Almora is on your team, buddy.
Yeah.
You can put Albert Almora in for defense. That's fine. Like, that's if you have two defensive center fielders on your team, why not use them properly?
Yes.
Hey, no problem putting Guillorme in.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which was the right, I mean, it was the right choice, but like, if Guillorme ended up,
everything went wrong.
It bit them in the butt. That
whole thing, everything kind of just didn't fall into place last night. And then obviously we're recording this on Tuesday night during the game. Dominic Smith has already hit a home run. It was a 2-run home run. And he and Pete Alonso need to be in the lineup behind each other or next to each other always. Yeah. The end.
Yeah. And I mean, like,
showing them on TV right now.
Yeah, he put Guillorme in for defense. That bit him in the butt because Guillorme made a poor defensive play that cost them big time. Potentially cost them, like, the game. But I mean, that, like, obviously it's frustrating that he didn't execute. Ooh. But that I don't fault Rojas for. Obviously, that's Guillorme's fault for not executing in the big spot. And Guillorme makes that play like 9 times out of 10. It's just that that time he didn't, and you know, it is what it is. But you know, it's there were several factors that just didn't go well last night and were frustrating. I mean, like, your brand new setup man, Trevor May, who you just gave the contract to, like, didn't pitch well, blew the game. It's interesting because, like, I can go on about how much I disagree with the decision to pull DeGrom, and I do, but ultimately, that's not what cost them, really, because he would have pitched 7, and Miguel Castro pitched a clean 7th. It was Trevor May in the 8th, and he would have been brought in the 8th anyway. So it was Trevor May and Aaron Laup in the 8th.
Well, Jake even said he was fine with it because he wants to pitch again on Saturday.
Right, right. So, and I think
he's the one that said all the routines were broken. So I mean, he was saying, he's like, I was trying to like keep the pitches down in case I had to play on Saturday, and then we didn't really know if the series was canceled at that point. So like, it was also a lack of communication on the Nationals part and not knowing what to do. But like, I don't know. I think we've had enough outbreaks and experience with this at this point that the Nationals should have just canceled the series right off.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and then even today, like, what, like 10 players mysteriously went on the IL for the Nationals. Like,
undisclosed.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
10 players is a lot. Like, you knew you weren't going to be able to field the team for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is bad. They should just have forfeited those games. I'm still annoyed by them so badly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys don't follow hockey, but the Canucks are in a really, really awful spot right now. They have 21 players currently on the COVID list. And
Jesus, yes, I keep seeing you tweet about that. Oh my gosh.
It's really scary. Like, they brought it home to their families. Like,
oh God.
They've needed medical attention. And because it's the Brazilian strain. So I'm just praying this isn't what's going to happen to the Nationals, because it's scary. It's really, really scary. And when they were thinking of playing them, like, I don't want the Mets anywhere near them.
No.
Like, I don't know who's been exposed, who isn't. We all know their thoughts on vaccines, so they don't care if, you know, like, they're all unvaccinated. know. Like, if they get on first base, I don't know what they're passing to Pete, or, you know, if there's a play at home.
Yep.
So, yeah, it, like, it's still not something to take lightly and to just be like, oh, it's opening day, we really want to get this game in. No. People take it seriously. We're very concerned, like, careers are going to be destroyed about this and with the Canucks, because it's that bad right now. And these are peak athletes. And so I'm just hoping that this isn't what's going to happen with the Nationals. And it's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the Nationals are fielding a team right now. Is the doubleheader today? Or I know they won the first game.
They already won their very first game that they played.
Okay. Yeah, they walked off the Braves. But Scherzer was bad.
Yeah, Scherzer didn't pitch well.
Yeah, Scherzer, yeah. Okay, so
the Braves have not won yet.
No, which is...
They could join us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Braves have played more games and still haven't won. Yeah. And the Phillies are, as of right now, undefeated. As we record this on, you know, Tuesday night, the Mets are currently winning, but the Phillies are, as of yet, undefeated.
It's the sixth inning, right? Velasquez.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. So opening day did not go well, but, you know, it's one game. The best part about baseball is that you play again tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. Can't really draw any conclusions based on one game.
No, I think we should board the train to Panic City personally.
I looked at our predictions like, guess the Mets record. And I was the pessimistic one and said 87 wins. And that was the lowest guess. So I'm like, my 87's looking pretty good.
Yeah, possibly. Speaking of our predictions, though, we ran a bunch of during opening week and leading up to opening day, we ran a bunch of posts, like sort of group posts where like each of the members of the staff kind of gave our take on certain things. One of them was guess the Mets record, as Linda alluded to. But another one was like we had a reasons to be optimistic piece and then a reasons to be pessimistic piece about the Mets. And the reason in the reasons to be pessimistic piece, nearly every single one of us said the bullpen. Like, almost all of us said the bullpen. And there it was, the very first game. It's already been exposed as a weak spot on the team. I am very concerned.
It's a weak spot on the team nearly every year.
Yes.
And that's to me, not... It's going to take a lot, I think, to change that attitude amongst fans.
Yeah. I'll just say this bullpen looks a lot different with Seth Lugo in it. I think they win that game yesterday if Seth Lugo is on the team. However, we will wait for him to return, and hopefully the bullpen won't blow too many games before then, including...
I'm still also kind of annoyed they didn't bring Yamamoto. He could at least be a long man on the bullpen.
I know, right? We'll see.
And he's so enthusiastic on Twitter.
He is! He loves his new teammates.
I know. I love Yamamoto on Twitter.
And he's got an excellent doggy, too.
I mean, we'll see we won't see it for like the first turn through because Jake's going to pitch on Saturday on like regular rest. But we'll see once we get to the Lucchese like turn of the rotation, how the like Barnes opener Lucchese situation works out. Hopefully it does. We'll see. So speaking of the Canucks and vaccines and how the Mets feel about vaccines, that's going to be the majority of our Mets segment this week, because that's kind of, other than obviously the opening day game, which we can only talk so much about one game, the big story this week in Mets land has been, you know, quotes surrounding vaccination, because MLB teams are starting to get vaccinated now. And there was a memo that MLB issued when teams started to get vaccinated that, like, once teams got to 85% vaccinated, like, they could relax the COVID restrictions on those teams. Like, you know, because right now, like, nobody's, like, they're not bubbled in the true sense the way that, like, the NBA is, but, like, they have restrictions on, like, where they can go, who they can see, and stuff like that. So MLB said, we'll relax the restrictions on you if 85% of your team gets vaccinated. So that's been kind of the story. So right after the Mets extended Francisco Lindor, which, by the way, the Mets extended Francisco Lindor, which I guess we haven't really talked about on this podcast because literally on the eve, like, they had not, like, we were recording it hoping it was going to happen before the podcast, and it didn't. And we were just there like, okay, here we are recording a podcast. I completely forgot to even put that on the show notes because I feel like I blacked out. And it's been like a blur since it happened, but it did happen. The Mets extended Francisco Lindor. They did it. I got my Lindor jersey today.
Down the wire. It was like right at around midnight.
Yeah, it was right around midnight, right before opening day. Well, like when opening day was originally supposed to be. Little did the Mets know they had extra time to negotiate, as it turns out.
See, and I think that's why it got lost, because like not 12 hours after he was signed, we found out opening day was canceled.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a wild ride. We both jinx. So I guess I better talk about that a little bit since I forgot to even put that in the show notes. Wow. The Mets extended Francisco Lindor for 11 years, $341 million. So I think that, you know, like they ended up meeting in the middle, just like we kind of thought, you know, like he wasn't coming off of his 12-385. The Mets weren't coming off of their 10-325. And then they ended up meeting in the middle. And it seemed like it was that extra $1 million over what Fernando Tatis Jr. got that seemed to, like, you know, be the thing. A lot of it is significantly deferred. There is deferred money every year, but there are no opt-outs. There are no opt-outs, and he has
he's here.
Yeah, he's here forever, and he has a no trade also. I think it's a limited no trade, but it's like a 12-team no trade or something. So it's like he can put like half the league on there. So yeah, basically he's a Met for life, which is so great. The second that the deal went through, I purchased a Francisco Lindor jersey, and it arrived today, and I'm so happy about it. A women's Lindor jersey.
Yes.
It looks fantastic from the photo you sent.
It's so beautiful. Oh, I'm nice. So happy. So yeah, that happened, which is really great. So yeah, we have our shortstop for life. I'm so happy. Our franchise player, you guys. It's so great. It's so great.
I'm waiting for the black jerseys to come out.
Yeah, the stress of like not having to worry about this anymore.
Yes, it's
it was
good.
Like such a weight lifted. Like I was legit like gonna cry when, because we were like, no, it's never gonna happen, it's not gonna happen. And then all of a sudden it's like the Heyman tweet out of nowhere, like Mets have a deal. It's like, what?
Yeah, literally, like everyone was starting to get like a little
we were
worried.
Like, no, it's not happening. Like we were all like, happening. I think it's not happening at this point
because it was getting
this
late.
Is so bad.
And then literally out of nowhere, just the Heyman tweet dropped, and it was just, oh my god.
I was like, this better be real. This better not be a joke.
I will fully admit that. So that night, I was drunk when it happened, so that like heightened the emotions like times 10, because I had been earlier in the evening, I had done one of those like beer and donut pairings that I have discussed on this podcast before, which are fabulous, but it is a lot of beer when you do those, because they give you like whole cans and like you have to open them all to do the tasting. So it's like, what am I gonna do once they're open? You kind of have to drink them. What are you gonna do? So
I'm gonna interrupt this for a hot second and just say that Pete Alonso just made it, like, I think his second or third spectacular defensive play.
Yay. Very nice.
Yeah, Stroman was pumped up about it.
I heard Michael yelling in the other room, so it must have been because of that.
Sorry, I had to interrupt there because like,
no,
Pete's
you're good.
Been, like, really good on defense.
He's been
he's worked
really hard, and I'm proud of him. So yeah, I'd done one of those beer and donut pairings, and then it was like right after that, it was my draft for my fantasy team, like my other draft, not the Amazing Avenue League. We have a league. But I was drafting in my other league that I'm a part of, and it's always my tradition to, you know, drink beer while I draft. And so, you know, I had another one during my fantasy draft, and so that kind of pushed me over the edge a little bit. And then like right after my, like literally like 10 minutes after my fantasy draft ended, the like Heyman tweet dropped, and I was like, what? And I like lost my mind. And then I bought the Lindor jersey immediately, and it was amazing. So that's my where that's my like, where were you when story.
I was basically just pouting on the couch, like, tomorrow's opening day and I can't even get excited because they screwed this up. Like, I knew they were going to, and then it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, it really had, like, clouded everyone's excitement for opening day because there was this thing hanging over it. And then there wasn't. And I mean, obviously, it was, like, very anticlimactic because then opening day got canceled. But, like, in that blessed 12 hours between Lindor extending and opening day getting canceled, that was just the most blessed time.
Yeah.
Like, birds were singing.
I'd like to just go back and, like, live in that time for a little longer.
It was a hopeful 12 hours. And Stroman just finished the sixth inning with a big-ass grin on his face. He's
love
pumped.
To see it.
Well, because, yeah, McNeil made another stupid play. McNeil's
yeah.
McNeil's been, and I mean, with the glove, with the bat, he's been very unlucky. Yeah. Like, he's hit everything
he's
hard.
Been, like, super unlucky. He's had hard hits. I think the wind blew in a home run yesterday.
He even said my exit velocity has been really high. And he said he had a good attitude about it because he said my exit velocity has been high, but so I'm not worried. Like, we usually see McNeil get really frustrated. He's a guy who shows his frustration on the field. But the fact that he said, like, my exit velocities have been high, so I'm not worried about it, is encouraging. It's a good, you know, outlook to have.
Yeah. And he was much more, I don't want to say relaxed, but, like, not as frustrated with himself after he goofed on that play just now in the sixth inning. So I like that he's reacting more calmly to this and kind of not letting himself get too bogged down. So hopefully that will work out soon and he will stop getting babipped.
Support for this episode comes from Locker Room, the app that's changing the way we talk sports. Locker Room is a sports fan's dream come true. It's a live audio platform that lets you connect with other fans, experts, and even the athletes themselves. Locker Room makes it easy to start your own conversations. Talk about the latest rumors, takes, news, and teams you care about most. Join massive watch parties for all of your friends to react together in real time as you celebrate a buzzer beater or suffer the agony of a crucial bricked free throw. And if you've got a bunch of supremely spicy takes you'd like to fire off, you're in luck. You can even record the conversations if you want and release them as a podcast. So it's time to start thinking about catchy titles. It's all totally free and available at the iOS App Store right now. So go download it today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Got money goals? NerdWallet's got your back with the smartest credit cards, mortgages, investing accounts, and more. Maybe you're looking to book that thrice postponed honeymoon. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest travel rewards card now so you can earn points towards that much-deserved trip. Or if you're thinking it's time for a bigger house now that your family is about to grow by exactly one bedroom, NerdWallet's got calculators and tools to help you find the smartest mortgage. And since your family is growing, it's probably a good idea to think about your child's future college plans, right? Well, NerdWallet's got your back with the smartest investing accounts for college funds and more. With side-by-side comparison tools, calculators, and more, NerdWallet can help you find answers to all of your money goals, big or small. From credit cards, mortgages, investing accounts, and more, NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest financial products for you. For all of your money questions, turn to the nerds at NerdWallet. NMLS 1617539.
But anyway, back to vaccines, my original
point.
Yeah, I mean, we had to do a digression about the Lindor extension.
Lindor's
I can't believe I didn't even put that in the show notes. So much has happened. Time passes.
It's hard to keep track.
It's hard to keep track. What happened since the last time we recorded? But yeah, that's been the big story this week, basically since opening day. So I thought about Lindor because right after they did the press conference introducing Lindor, which was fabulous, and Lindor answered all the questions really well, you know, and Lindor was talking about how proud he was to be a man, and it was just like I was crying, and it was great. Right after Lindor answered questions from the media, Luis Rojas to questions from the media. And one of the questions was from Gary Cohen, and he asked Rojas if the organization has talked to the players about COVID-19 vaccination, and if Rojas has, like, sort of any estimation or, like, estimated headcount of, like, how many players plan to get vaccinated. At the time, Rojas said that they did talk to the players right after MLB issued that memo that I spoke about earlier, the one that said, like, if you get your team to 85%, we can relax the restrictions. But he had no estimation at that time, because they issued, the way that they did it is they issued a survey to the players to say, like, please state, like, your intentions to get vaccinated or not. And I don't think he had, like, the results of that. And if he did, he wasn't really willing to share them. But he made it seem like they didn't even have them yet. And Cohen, like, credit to Gary Cohen for this. I was so happy. He pushed him on it. Like, he didn't stop. He didn't stop. He asked a follow-up and asked, like, is the Mets organization encouraging players to get vaccinated? And Rojas kind of did the, like, hedging and the, and he kind of said, well, we're not pushing players to be vaccinated because it's voluntary. It's a personal choice and all that stuff. And that was kind of like, ugh. So that was the start of it. Was Rojas saying that. And in the interim between that press conference and now, several Mets players have come out with quotes that are, you know, to that effect, that it's a personal choice. There are three primary examples that are public right now. First was J.D. Davis. He was asked about it, like, do you plan on getting the shot? And he said he hadn't thought about it, which is, like, wild. Like, what world do you live in where you don't even think about vaccination?
Especially when you're games all just got canceled because of COVID.
Right.
They're not playing because of COVID.
I think they're just covering for each other right now.
It's possible. Yeah. It's possible,
but they're all making each other look even worse. Every quote is worse than the last one.
Yeah. Yeah. So J.D. Davis said, quote, it's a personal preference and everybody has their own choice of doing so. So that's, like, his stance on it.
And he said, I want to be sensitive to the people who died.
And it's like, you're not.
The vaccination.
You're not. Yeah.
The way to be sensitive to that is to get vaccinated if you can. Yeah. And so then Michael Conforto was asked about it. And he said, if Michael Conforto reiterates that it's a personal choice. So that was Michael Conforto, and Jeff McNeil said the same thing. So that was the newest one. Jeff McNeil's was, like, truly bizarre. So that was today. So he was asked about it, and he said, quote, it's important for people to get vaccinated out there. So you think he's, like, starting to be pro vaccination, but then when asked about, like, whether he's getting it, he said he's still not sure and it's a personal decision and he's still looking at all the information. So it's like,
well,
it's important for
medical people too.
I mean, and see, this is what makes me think that they're covering for each other. They're not going to say one way or the other who's getting it, who's not. Like,
that doesn't matter though.
No, it doesn't matter, but, like, from I'm trying to look at it from their point of view, and it's totally wrong, but they're this, like, tight-knit group and they don't want to, like, overstep each other's feelings. And
no, what I'm calling bullshit is Michael Conforto. Everybody's talking about what a leader he is. He did not show one ounce of leadership. Max Scherzer is a player rep and said he's following science and he's getting the vaccine. So Michael Conforto was a coward. He was a coward to say what he said. And that's what he believes, which are both bad. I don't want to hear anything about Michael Conforto's leadership abilities anymore because he just blew it.
Yeah. The Jeff McNeil quote is so odd to me. Like, it's important for other people to get vaccinated and not you?
See, I think he is, but again, it's that they're covering for the team, so they're trying to make none of them look bad, so they're all going to look bad.
There's that Dumbledore quote, it takes courage to stand up to your enemies, but far greater courage to stand up to your friends, and none of them have courage, apparently.
No, I think the only
Neville Longbottom has more courage than any member on the Met team
right now.
I think the only one that kind of has hinted at it is Lindor from that Instagram post.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think Lindor is going to get it, even if he doesn't, like, say outright that he is.
Yeah.
So it's just frustrating to see this, like, I won't go as far as to call it anti-vax, but it's like to see this vaccine hesitancy type of rhetoric coming from these Mets players. It's really frustrating to see. And Kellyanne alluded to
games got canceled because of COVID.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What more impact could it have on you?
And like, I mean, Kellyanne,
this whole thing with it's my choice. It's just like, no, you got to think about the greater good here.
This affects other people. It's your choice when it only affects you.
Yeah, and also what happens when little Jackson DeGrom walks in, or McCann's twins, or Edwin Diaz's son?
Or Aniston DeGrom.
Yeah, any of the kids.
Children.
Any of the kids. The kids aren't eligible for the vaccines.
No.
It's so... this is your way of protecting them. And you don't care that little Jackson DeGrom could get COVID because it's your personal choice?
What were you, Allison, what were you going to say I said?
Oh, no, I was saying that you alluded to, like, that they might be covering for each other. And the way I see it is, like, the potential explanation, and to be fair, I'm not saying that any of these explanations are excuses. I don't think that they should be saying these things, but there are kind of like three potential reasons why they could be giving these quotes. One reason is what Kellyanne already said. They're covering for their teammates who might actually be vaccine. They are personally not, but they might be covering for their teammates who don't intend to get the vaccine, and they don't want the public to know which of the Mets are getting vaccinated and which aren't, so that the like non-vaccinated people don't draw ire from the public. So that is one
shamed.
That is one potential explanation. The second potential explanation is that they are indeed that they're expressing their genuine views on the matter and they are vaccine hesitant. The third potential explanation, this is kind of more specific to Michael Conforto, is that and like Linda said, it's no excuse because Max Scherzer is a union rep and said he's getting the vaccine and following science. But the Players Association has come out and kind of given this personal choice narrative. The Players Association is not making the vaccine mandatory for players. So they're kind of taking this like personal choice narrative. So it's possible that as the union rep, Michael Conforto is just parroting the union stance on the thing. And that's all he feels he has to do.
I mean, there's a way to do that. Say our games were canceled. We don't want to be in this situation again. We're going to seriously think about getting this vaccine. So you can say it's personal to you, or like without throwing all of baseball under the bus. Like, there is a way to do it, and he chose not to do that.
Yeah.
Or you could, everybody should be the Brewers. They're the gold standard right now.
And the Dodgers.
Entire team. The Dodgers too? Okay, I just thought it was only the Brewers at this point. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the Dodgers. Ugh,
also,
I have to wipe them again.
Pissed me off.
Well, there are like at least four teams that are at 85% right now.
Yeah. Well, you can also, you know, Chili Davis didn't work because he wasn't comfortable because of COVID, and specifically said he came back because he's vaccinated. And JD bemoaned not having Chili Davis. Well, guess what? You would still not have Chili Davis unless it was for that goddamn vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, JD, you're greatly benefiting from it, but it's still a personal decision.
Yeah. And it's like... ugh. The second that your personal decisions impact public health, they are no longer your personal decisions. That's just the way the world works. We live in a society. We live in a society. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like Cookie Carrasco had cancer and got it.
Right.
Like he spoke openly about it. If he can get it, what's the hesitation? I don't like the rest of them. Like... yeah, JD, you got hit on the hand. There was that tweet that was like, oh, will he believe in the x-ray? Like, this is all just science. Every time you get hit, go on the IL, you listen to the doctors. Why is this any different?
Right.
And Sandy basically is trying his best because he keeps seeing his players saying moronic things.
I know. And so the encouraging thing, I was going to get to that, the encouraging thing in all of this is that we've seen the players say these things. And as far as I know, I mean, okay, so we know that Carlos Carrasco has gotten the shot because he has a history He talked about it, and he has a history with cancer, and he's immunocompromised. He got the shot. We know Chili Davis did. But as far as the players... Carlos Carrasco, I think, is the only one we know for sure got the shot. There are others that I think we can, you know, probably speculate would be more open to it, like Lindor. But I don't think anybody else on the Mets, other than Carrasco, has, like, come out and just, like, publicly said, I will get the shot.
Well, what's going to be interesting is that after the game on Thursday, I believe it was Louis Rojas said, whoever wants the shot, is they can go and get it. It's going to be the Pfizer shot after the game on Thursday. So it's going to be interesting to eyeball April 29th or 30th when the Pfizer second round shot is supposed to be given, to see who's going to be sitting out for that April 30th game.
Yeah.
If they're out with side effects.
Right, right.
So we'll see.
But yeah, like Linda alluded to, Sandy Alderson is on the encouraging side of things. Sandy Alderson almost on Monday, almost kind of directly contradicted what Luis Rojas said on April 1st. And I don't think that that was like an intentional dig at Rojas or anything like that. I think that, you know, it's both a difference in how Sandy is approaching the problem, and also maybe the team's stance has evolved since April 1st to now. But Sandy Alderson said on Monday that the team is, when asked right out about it by none other than friend of the pod, Bradford, asked Sandy Alderson on Monday if the team, you know, is encouraging, like, players to get vaccinated. And Sandy said that the team is encouraging all of its players to get vaccinated. And he said that he himself has gotten the vaccine. And he said, quote, we think it's important we get as many players vaccinated as possible. And he said that the team is giving players, like, educational materials about the vaccine. So, like, that was good. Like, up until then, I had kind of been like, oh my God, this is so depressing seeing all these players say this stuff, but at least, like, you know, Sandy Alderson is the adult in the room and being like, trying to give these flyers to these dumb jocks to get them to get the shot.
And we have, and Gary, Keith, and Ron, I believe it was all three of them, just said they all got the vaccine as well.
Yeah.
On the broadcast tonight.
Yes.
So that's good.
So that's good news. And like Kellyanne said, the Mets will have access to the vaccine once they're back in New York. And Rojas said, we hope to get there regarding the 85% threshold. So hopefully that's true. Hopefully 85% of the Mets will be vaccinated. And then this will kind of be like a, not a non-issue, but like, you know, it will blow over because in the end, enough of the players will get vaccinated. But I don't think it makes the rhetoric any less dangerous, even if the Mets do ultimately get to 85%.
No, and I don't want to hear them saying we honor our healthcare heroes. They worked so hard. This is a slap in the face to them.
Yeah. Say it's a personal choice and then honor them.
Any of the healthcare heroes right now by this rhetoric. So you go and get to say, you're slapping them in the face. All their hard work, their suffering, their trauma that they've had to deal with over the past year. And now you could all give them a break and you're just deciding not to do it. And like, also how privileged, like, people don't have access to this and they can just say, not for me. Like, people will, like, there are people like, well, who really desperately need it and who can't
and want it and can't get it, have been trying for appointments and can't.
My research shows. No, your research is
Nonsense.
Yeah.
There was humongous an argument, it was yesterday or 2 days ago in our comments about just the whole vaccine, whose, like, articles are you sourcing? What do you trust? Are there conspiracies? It was just bad. Oh my God. But it's just like such a successful misinformation campaign has been executed about this whole pandemic, about the vaccine. And it's really, really disconcerting to see how many people believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. And like, I was still going back and forth with a Twitter follower, and I was like, can you explain to me the science behind an MRI? Can you explain the science between, about, you know, why your body pulls a hamstring, what the science is behind that? No, probably not. Yet you take an MRI without questioning it. Yeah, JD, did you get an X-ray? Can you tell me read your own X-ray for me? Greg, can you like dissect that machine for me? Tell me how x-rays work, and can you do all that? Do you know the science behind that, JD?
Right, right. Like, there's constantly medical science involved in, you know, athletes and, you know, injuries and them staying healthy. And why is it this instance where suddenly it's
I mean, partially, I think it's just because they also partly think they're invincible and that they can't get sick, or if they get sick, they can handle it.
Like, I guess not just players... about...
they just walked a run in, sorry.
The Mets did, or the Phillies did?
Yeah. No, the Mets did. It's now 3-1.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. The Mets
pitcher has no control.
The Phillies pitcher walked in a run.
The Phillies pitcher walked in a run. I'm sorry. That was not clear. The Phillies pitcher walked in a run. He just, I think, walked the last four batters. I don't know why he's still in.
Well, but this is also what's happening. Like, players, fine, might not know what's going on in Vancouver with the Canucks right now. They're in their own bubble. They're getting ready for the season. I get it. But Freddie Freeman, who is one of your peers, openly spoke about this. Eduardo Rodriguez couldn't play last year because he developed a heart condition because of this. These are your peers. Why aren't you listening to them?
Right. Like, there's real danger to you if you get COVID.
And to others.
And to others. That's the big thing. To others.
To the stadium workers, to the security guards, to their families.
Staying healthy is literally a part of your job.
I mean, and just we see there are variants that have already popped up.
Yeah. The Brazilian variant is what's taking out the Canucks right now.
Yeah. So it's just, you know.
So by not getting vaccinated, you're now allowing the variant to, like, take hold, too.
To propagate, yes. Because... regardless of, like, how effective the vaccine is against the variant, and, you know, that is a problem, and, like, it is effective, but maybe somewhat reduced effectiveness against the variant, the problem is that if we can get, you know, the population vaccinated such that COVID is no longer circulating in the community, guess what? The new variants can't crop up because the virus is no longer propagating. That's how this works. Yep. Yep. That's how this works, because the science is already showing that vaccinated people do not spread COVID. So,
which is promising.
Exactly. So,
I mean, and I think a lot of people are fearful, excuse me, just because they say the rollout on this was fast. But I know Taiwan in particular had this already going because they dealt with SARS. How many years ago? I don't remember how many years ago, but they had this ready to go. And I would guess they probably shared some of that information with the rest of the globe so they could help develop things at a quicker pace. So it's not like this vaccine was just developed within 9 months. The basis for this has been in place for a while. So, I mean, the United States, I think, has the two best vaccines because they're mRNA-based rather than other countries, because a lot of the other countries are dead virus-based. Because I had a friend ask me about the vaccine in India, because her father is worried about, he wants to get it, he's worried about getting it because of the preservatives and stuff, he might have an allergic reaction to it. So, and their vaccine is dead virus-based rather than mRNA-based. So, it's just get vaccinated, guys. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Like I pointed out, if me, like a little nothing of a woman, can get it, an athlete in peak physical condition can deal with the side effects of the shot.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you might miss a game. Is that the end of the world? One game.
Think how many games you'll miss if you get COVID.
Yeah. What's the alternative?
Well, look what happened. We just missed a bunch of games because of COVID.
COVID. And now you're complaining your routines are all screwed up because of COVID.
Yeah. Right. So get the shot. Get the shot. That's the only way to stop it.
Yeah. I don't want to hear any of them complaining. They've lost their right to complain, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, vaccine, obviously, like, it's frustrating to see this from the Mets players, but obviously these sentiments and this vaccine hesitancy is not just a Mets problem, and it's dangerous when, you know, they're taking these positions that are detrimental to public health when they are public figures, and you have a responsibility to, like, not say dumb shit like that. I just, whatever.
Well, then everybody's like, well, maybe the reporters shouldn't be asking these questions. They can ask questions about their health.
They should be asking these questions.
Yes. I was going to say, if they can ask Matt Harvey about his pee, they can ask athletes if they're getting a vaccine or not.
Right.
I mean, I won't lie. I get annoyed with the beat reporters a lot, but that is a question that they need to ask and they need to press on.
And they need to follow up and press on it the way that Gary Cohen did and the way that Bradford did.
Yes.
Well, because it's not a personal decision. It's a public health. We live in a society, people.
We live in a society.
We're not in a vacuum here.
Yeah. So the other big baseball wide story this week is that Major League Baseball made the decision to move the All-Star game out of Atlanta because of Georgia's election reform legislation. I put big air quotes around that because basically the legislation was meant to restrict voting rights, particularly for minorities. So because of the controversy surrounding that legislation, because there were threats of boycotts, let's be real. I don't, as much as I want to believe MLB is acting out of some sort of moral imperative, they are not. They are acting out of a financial imperative, as are the other corporations that have, you know, made stances against this and pulled out of Atlanta. Like Coca-Cola is an Atlanta-based company. So Coca-Cola and Microsoft and Delta have, put out statements against this bill. I feel like it's the corporate response that spurred MLB on. So MLB made what is probably a financial decision rather than a moral one to act and pull, because they knew that people would threaten to boycott. So they pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta. And it's now apparently going to be played in Colorado. It's interesting because obviously I think most people in our circles agree that it was the right decision. But it doesn't mean it doesn't come with, you know, some not unintended, but sort of like negative consequences that are indirect. Because, you know, it does make fans, Braves fans, and the community who aren't the people who wrote and passed this legislation, it does make them suffer for it. But in the end, you have to act. You can't just sit by and have your All-Star game in this state that just basically made it much harder for Black people to vote.
Especially since they said they wanted to honor Henry Aaron. Like, it just would have been... Like, that's not... Like, this goes against... It's exactly a lot of what Henry Aaron had to deal with. Like, the racism's still very real.
Right.
And, you know... And also, let's be real. The game was not in Atlanta. It's in Cobb County, which is mostly white.
Yes, this is true.
So the moving of the Braves Stadium was... Also incredibly racist.
Yeah, that was a choice. That was a very calculated decision to move the Braves Stadium to where it is now.
Yeah. So, you know what? The chickens are coming home to roost, Atlanta, or Braves. These are decisions you've made and supported. So... You know, it's just, you know, maybe it could serve as a wake-up call to the rest of, you know, Major League Baseball, rest of the country. This is still a very real thing that's happening. Like, these people can't even get water to vote. You can't give people water who are standing in long lines? Like, that's just inhumane.
Yeah, exactly.
The floodgates are opened. Conforto just got a bases clearing double. The score is now, wait, I can't see if it's 6 or 8.
Oh, the Rangers are winning 8-3, so maybe both the teams.
It's 6-1.
6-1. Yeah, see, I can't read. I'm in standard def right now. I can't read it from here.
It's 6-1. So
yeah, the Rangers are also killing the Penguins.
Hopefully, the Mets can continue scoring and make this bullpen proof. We'll see.
Yes,
but
and as we're talking, I'm going to say it's because of all our vaccine talk and our talk of the All-Star game moving that they're doing this well.
Yes. 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 It's karmic.
Yes.
But yeah,
that was
so
the word I was looking for.
So but worth noting though that the Players Alliance, which is a collective of over 150 Black Major League Baseball players, released a statement, which includes Touki Toussaint, by the way, who is on the Atlanta Braves, released a statement in favor of the decision. And the perspective that I most enjoyed reading on this, and we will link this in the show notes and in the tweets, I really strongly encourage you to read Demetrius Bell's piece over a Talking Chop on this. He's a Braves fan. He's a Black man. I strongly encourage you to read his piece on this. It is extremely well written, and you know, I read it and I was like, I got nothing to add. Like this is everything that I like, you know, that I think is the right thing to say about this. He notes, once again, it has to be noted that facing consequences for actions that can quite easily be described as being discriminatory can't just be chalked up to cancel culture or liberal bias or whatever the current boogeyman is running wild in the ongoing culture war. This is simply an example of MLB actually standing up for the right thing. Period. And this is not the first example. It's not like this is unprecedented. This is not unprecedented by any stretch of the imagination. Demetrius puts other examples in his piece of sports leagues, you know, acting when, you know, there is a, you know, again, the cynical viewpoint is they're going to lose money if they don't act. But, you know, when there is a moral imperative, I'll say, you know, like Arizona lost out on hosting a Super Bowl in 1993 because the state government wouldn't acknowledge MLK Day as a holiday. You know, things like that. North Carolina didn't get to host the NBA All-Star game when the state government passed a bill that was discriminatory against the LGBTQ community. I believe that was the bathroom bill at the time. Yes. So in 2017, the North Carolina tried to pass this bathroom bill, which was very, you know, discriminatory towards trans people. And the NBA pulled out of the All-Star game in North Carolina. So similar things have happened in the past. This is not unprecedented. And all the people calling this like, you know, MLB's liberal bias or like woke something like
Mary and Joseph
are being ridiculous, because if you have listened to this podcast for more than 5 minutes of your life, you will know that if there is any word to describe Major League Baseball, liberal is not a word.
It's not one of them.
Ever.
No. It's not. If it was, this podcast would probably not exist.
Right. Like, we wouldn't have much to talk about if MLB acted, you know, in a way that was a little bit less, you know, conservative and traditional.
Steve Cohen literally just put literal Chris Christie on the board.
Right. Oh, he gave a terrible answer, by the way, when he and Sandy, during the same press conference where Sandy Alderson gave a good answer on vaccines, he gave a bad answer on this, because they asked both Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen about it, and they kind of both said, well, like, sometimes there's politics in sports, and we're just gonna stay out of it. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
There's politics in sports all the time.
But it's okay to hire Chris Christie?
Yeah, I like, 0% surprise there. That's
just a bridge too far.
But
I'm from New Jersey. I will zing him every time on that.
A comically large cane just pulled you off the stage, Kellyanne. But anyway, so yeah, like, this was the right choice by Major League Baseball. Whether it's because of their wallets or because of their morals, at least the impact is the same either way. It was the right choice.
That one tweet that went viral, they were like, well, you know, we've seen politics in sports the past few years, and I guess it's here to stay. It's like, the past few years, where have you been? There's always been politics in sports.
Like, who do you, have you met, like, Jackie Robinson? I just don't understand.
Have you watched the Olympics?
Have you watched the Olympics ever? Like, what?
Yeah. Do you not know what happened during the Olympics in Germany?
Yeah. Like, what? Politics have always been a part of sports. This is not new.
No, like, it's gotten more attention because clearly, like, social media probably, you know, adds to it. But because sports mirror life. These are people who play the games. They have lives outside of being athletes. They have things that mean...
No, they should shut up and dribble, though, Linda.
Right.
No politics in my sports. But yeah, so this is a very obvious example of the fact that you cannot and should not isolate politics from sports. Because they will always... We live in a society. You cannot bubble these things or compartmentalize them. It's just
can you say that's the title? Can we live in a society?
Oh yeah, that's the title. We live in a society.
It exists. Wow, I can't speak tonight. For those saying to keep politics out of sports, it's always been there. It's always existed. Yeah. I mean.
And also, one time, I think Noah responded to something, like Ted Cruz tweeted something, and Noah actually had a really good response to him. It was something about, like, climate change or something. And Noah responded, and somebody, like, basically told Noah to, like, shut up. And somebody responded, that's his senator. He has every right to respond.
Yeah.
Like, they have lives outside of being your favorite baseball player.
Indeed, they do. And it's just, like, an athlete can't speak on politics. Well, what about a construction worker or a teacher or
a librarian?
A librarian or a janitor? Like, are you just going to tell them they're just jobs? Are you saying, oh, because they don't work in politics that they can't have an opinion? Really? Really? Especially when we have so many politicians that are corrupt and are just downright bad? Really? We can't call them out on their stupidity?
Well, mostly
or downright evilness?
It's the people who say keep politics out of it. What they're saying is keep the politics I don't agree with out of it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, I'm sure, you know, if they were spewing, like, MAGA stuff, nobody would be complaining.
Right. So, kind of to, well, okay, before I will reverse the order of what I had in the show notes, because I kind of want to, even though we're going to do walk-off wins as always to end the entire show happy, but I want to end the baseball segment happy too. So I'll start with one more unhappy thing. I promise it's quick, but every week we do this, so I will do it again. Mickey Callaway still has a job counter, is set at 2 months and 4 days since his original suspension. And Wahoo! He still has a job.
And the season started now.
When it was supposed to be like a super quick investigation.
Yeah, remember
they
when...
Done, I think like the week that it happened.
They
that
literally
was
said
done.
Things like, we hope to wrap this up quickly when they started the investigation. 2 months and 4 days.
Whoops.
Mickey Callaway still has a job. The season has started. He still has a job. So just got to point that out as we do every week. And we will continue to do until he no longer has a job. But I will end the baseball segment on a happy note, which is kind of an extension of like Mets opening day being back, but baseball in general is back, not just the Mets.
Yay!
And I don't know, like, obviously, you know, when during baseball season, my life is overwhelmingly consumed by Mets games because I watch the Mets every night. But, you know, even though I was very not happy about the Mets season being delayed, it did give me the opportunity to kind of watch some other teams while I was waiting for the Mets to start, because I was like so starved for baseball that I just watched like any old team. I watched like all the games on Thursday, and I watched like a bunch of like random clips of games over the weekend. Like we would flip around and just watch whoever was on, and it was really fun. And it's just like, baseball's only been back a few days, but a bunch of like weird stuff has already happened. And I mean weird in like the best way possible. Like watching Shohei Ohtani, even though he like kind of might have gotten hurt at the end of that game there, we'll see what happens. Watching Shohei Ohtani do what he does was just a pleasure and a joy. Watching him play is awesome. He threw pitches over 100 miles an hour, and he hit a pitch over 100 miles an hour exit velocity, which just is not done. Like, no one does that, but Shohei Ohtani does.
Syndergaard does.
Syndergaard made a point to tweet that he was the last guy to do that before Ohtani just did it, which is true, and is awesome. So
you can't,
like,
take that away from him.
We got to watch Shohei Ohtani, like a completely like unique player that you may never see again. Get to watch him do his thing, which was super fun. And he hit that home run on the very first pitch he saw, by the way, of the season, which was super cool. We also saw weird stuff like Cody Bellinger losing out on a home run because Justin Turner didn't realize it was a home run. And so he started running back towards first base and he ran past Bellinger. So he was, so he was out.
I love baseball.
It's so weird. And of course that got made into a meme like immediately because there's like this meme now of like Cody Bellinger like pointing the other direction, like he's trying to get Turner to be like no, like he's like no, run that way, and Turner's like a blur going in the other direction. So I think my favorite version of that meme was like my friends trying to get my life on track and then me like basically like, you know, like me being back on my bullshit, like which was so funny.
Trying to be responsible during COVID-19. And then the other one was Justin Turner.
Oh my god.
That was a good one.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And timely.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
So that happened. As we already mentioned, Jacob DeGrom got two hits in his opener in the very first game of the season, in addition to pitching six shutout innings. So it's just like been really fun so far. It's been like, you know, a really fun, already really fun stuff has happened, and it just makes me realize how much I missed baseball. So that is ending the baseball segment on a high note.
Who was the guy from the White Sox who like hit a home run in his very first pitch that he saw in the major league?
Oh yeah,
I knew I missed a weird thing.
Yes, hang on. White Sox home run. I know I saw this and I can't remember the guy's name. Yermin Mercedes.
No, it's not him.
He's the guy who went like 8 for 8.
Yeah, to start, yeah.
To start the season, which is another weird thing I forgot.
Very first at bat. Is it the White Sox? Maybe it's the Tigers?
Wait, hang on. Debut, home run. Let's try this. Akil.
Yes.
Yes, Akil Badu. Yes. I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, Akil Badu.
Someone correct me if I am mispronouncing that, because I don't like mispronouncing names.
Yeah, but Yermin Mercedes is the guy who went like 8 for 8 to start the season, which had never been done.
Linda, you were right. He's on the Tigers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Akil Badu is on the Tigers, so he hit a home run in his first major league at bat.
And
so,
I think he like never played above like single A or double A.
Let's see.
Like he's a good story.
The Phillies just scored, by the way.
Let's recap Akil Badu's start to the season. Homers on first pitch of career, grand slam in second game, and a walk-off hit in the third game.
Yay!
That's pretty incredible. Good for him.
So, very fun things have already happened in the first, like, 4 days of baseball, which is great. But we will end the show this week, like we always do, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. So, Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Actually, mine happened today. I have most of my summer programming done for my job this summer, and I have, like, a really, really good summer plan, and I was very excited to see how much I have. Like, I was just looking at my schedule, like, oh, my God, I really have a lot. And I gave my budget to my manager, and she's just like looking at this and like was staring at it in disbelief because I got a lot of free programs and just used my budget like crazy and did collaborations with other libraries. So I'm very excited for summer at my library. I have a lot of nice programs to offer my kids.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm trying to get animals for my summer because our summer reading theme is Tales and Tales.
Tales and Tales. Yeah, ours too. I will give you names of the many animal places we're using.
I booked one animals, and then I'm thinking of getting this sled dog to be our summer reading closer because she's coming back.
That's fantastic.
So I kind of want her to do our finale.
We have three major animal ones, one for the kickoff, one for the finale, and I'm trying to get one for July as well. And then we have the seeing eye coming in. The seeing eye is the facility that works, that trains the guide dogs for blind people. So I'm so super excited about that one, because that one's close by to me in Morristown. Now, you guys know that I live near Morristown, New Jersey.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, so I already knew that.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I'm just excited. I'm just excited. I'm excited for this theme, Tales and Tales, because you can go a lot of ways with animals.
I am too. Well, because I'm getting the people who had the kangaroo, I'm bringing them back.
Yes!
But I got to snuggle the kangaroo. I'm so excited.
Oh, you're doing in person?
Because we can do it outside.
Oh, you guys are lucky.
So yeah, we're gonna have them outside, because they said they can do like a socially distanced outside thing. So I was like, excellent. That sounds fabulous. That
is excellent.
I was like, can I snuggle the kangaroo again? Although he's probably big at this point.
Still,
I know. I love my little baby kangaroo. I think they're bringing goats this time, since they're outside.
I can't remember what I'm bringing. Goats are adorable, but they're also, like, kind of assholes.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're good for petting zoos, though, as long as they're, like, fenced in and stuff. Linda Cerevich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win actually happened today, too. I did a baseball display at work.
Yes!
I think I forget what the book is called. It's a picture book, and I think it's called, like, Players and Pigtails, or...
Yes, I know which one you're talking about. The one, it's a girl's baseball book.
Yeah.
I know which, hang on, it's I think it is Players and Pigtails. Players and Pigtails. Hang on, let me Goodreads this. I know exactly which one you're talking about, because I read it last year for my baseball theme.
So
that's how I know this.
A mother and her two girls came in, and she goes, look, she goes, it's your favorite. And so the little girl looks at it and she goes, what sport do they play? And the little girl must have been two tops. And she goes, baseball. And she goes, you want to check it out? And she goes, yeah. So this little girl loves baseball. And checked
out.
It is Players in Pigtails. It's by Shanna Corey, and Rebecca Gibbon illustrated it. Read it. It's wonderful. And actually, I'm just to kind of bounce off of that for a second. I didn't realize this, but I've been like looking for diverse baseball books, and there are so many in children's literature. Yeah. I was very excited to find that. And that kind of needs to translate A, into Little League, and up to the major league levels. So but there are so many great diverse baseball books, and everybody should check them out.
And then I was just so happy, like, a little girl could, like, see herself in baseball. Like, she's two. And then, of course, like, she has a baby sister, and the baby sister was just, like, grabbing things, and she grabbed an Aaron Judge book, and her mom goes, oh, of course, she grabs Aaron Judge.
No.
So I had two little girls, who are one who was actually interested in the display, and the other one who just liked grabbing them. But she was excited about books. Like, she just loved, you know,
that's important. Made.
Because one time we had the fire trucks come because our wall units caught fire.
Oh no!
Which is the third time it happened. And then they wanted to go to the library, this family, and the mother kid, because they put it out, and, you know, we went back to work, and the mother bought her two girls, and she said, we came by earlier and we saw the fire trucks, and she's like, my girls got really upset. And she was like, you know, they're like, are they okay? Is the library okay? I was like, oh. So yeah, like, these two little girls are just the sweetest, and I'm glad that, you know, hopefully my baseball display, like, they found something, and that makes me happy, and they like reading and books, and that's always a good day as a librarian.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's super happy.
Yes. I hope that little girl grows up to be a baseball player.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Oh. That makes me so happy, Lynn. You have no idea.
I know, it made my day.
So My walk-off win for this week is that Michael and I got a chance to visit our families this weekend for the holiday weekend because he's on spring break. So I took a day off work and we just like got to go see both my family and his family. And we're at the point now where everyone in his family and my family is either vaccinated or has vaccine appointments. So we've like reached like full quorum here for vaccine appointments. My dad literally just got his appointment yesterday, so that was exciting. And it was for today, so he got his first shot this afternoon, which is awesome. Yeah, and so my appointment, I got, it was a blur, you guys, that 12 hours. Remember how I told you that, like, that we told you guys the 24-hour period, whatever, between, like, Lindor and finding out the season got canceled? During that same period, I got a vaccine appointment, too.
Oh, my God.
So that was just, like, that's a crazy day for me. So my vaccine is actually still kind of, like, up in the air, incidentally. So, like, I have a vaccine appointment for April 21st at one of the mass vaccination sites in Maryland. But the same mass vaccination site where I have my appointment on the 21st is opening up to walk-ups starting today. They opened up to walk-ups. And so a friend of mine and I are going tomorrow morning, like first thing, to try to just like get a walk-up shot. Just because I figured, you know what, why not? Like, why not take a chance? Take a shot. Ha ha.
Now the big like stick is coming for you.
Yes. So why not take a chance?
You're not throwing away your shot.
I'm not throwing away my shot. So potentially tomorrow I might be vaccinated, but worst case scenario, they turn us away because they don't have enough. And then I will keep my April 21st appointment. And this mass vaccination site is Johnson & Johnson. And so if I get the vaccine there, I will be one and done. So that's very exciting. It was just a very nice weekend getting to see our families for the first time in a while. I hadn't seen my parents since like November. So it was nice and everybody is at least partially or fully vaxxed. So it's great and I'm very happy. And so I'm hoping that like we started to like talk like we can make plans for them to like come to DC this summer and like actually do things. And it was just nice to be able to even talk like that.
Yeah,
that's a big change. Like being able to plan things, it's such an amazing feeling.
Being able to like have human contact, like my best friend and I literally have it in our phones when we're going to be able to hug each other again.
Oh,
yep.
April 30th. We're such nerds.
April 30th. The countdown is on.
Yes.
I'll have my fully antibodies May 1st, so I'll be right around you.
Yay. But you're Moderna. You're Team Moderna.
I am Team Moderna.
But we just found out all the Mets are going to get Pfizer. Gary Keith and Ron got Pfizer. So Team Pfizer is elite right now.
No, only Keith is Pfizer.
Really? I thought Gary
No,
and Ron
and Gary are Team Moderna.
Well, the Mets are going to be Team Pfizer, whoever gets it. Hopefully all of them.
The two Mets that get it.
No, they're all going to. Oh, my God. Brandon Nimmo is smiling because he just made such a fantastic play and saved Castro's butt. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. I'm still watching the game live.
But, yeah. So, hopefully. By the time you hear this, the Mets will be 1-1 on the season.
I'm mad at JD, but I'm also kind of brokenhearted that he got hurt today. Just putting that out there.
Yeah. Oh, true. That is an update we forgot to talk about, that JD Davis got hit in the hand with a pitch, but luckily X-rays are negative. So he should be, right now they're calling it a contusion. So we'll see, but at least he seemed to have avoided the worst of it. X-rays are negative. So that's good.
I'm just afraid it's gonna like affect his swing. I hope it's possible.
While
you're out, JD, why don't you get the vaccine? You're out anyway. You got nothing to worry about now. Look at that, problem solved.
Problem solved. But while you're waiting, patiently waiting for the Mets to reach 85% vaccination and for JD Davis's wrist to heal, you can go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We're now in full swing regular season mode. We've got all of our opening week content is out there for you to read, all of our predictions, reasons to be pessimistic, reasons to be optimistic, bold predictions, predictions for the season record, all that's out there. We've got our daily game recaps for you for every game. So keep an eye out for those. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Cerevich.
And you, Kellyanne?
At LRBELLARE BEE.
So follow all of us, the show, and Amazing Avenue on social media. Please subscribe and rate and review the podcast on your favorite podcast app of choice. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.